biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
No argument. No argument the way it ended. But like I just said, it like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and. That game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this. You're...
Well, Jason knows I'm not feeling
it. No, Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this. Is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
No Craig Karmazin today. Greg Scalzo, your cousin sub of the day. Am I technically a cousin sub if I'm on the show?
No. You're just doing your job.
I know, but now I am filling in for Craig.
Yeah.
Craig is out. The intro, which I don't think we've changed.
Yeah, still Kyle,
says,
when are we updating
here
that?
That is Ashton's responsibility.
Founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin. I am not Craig Karmazin. However, this is Sunday Karma. I'm Greg Scalzo here with the rest of the crew. Alex Strofe, the world's greatest producer, Kyle Wallace, working it behind the glass there. And, of course, you.
I'm just as good as Alex.
That's not accurate.
I am just as good as Alex. The amount of times that Alex has delays for us and the amount of stuff I got to ask him for.
I don't like that your goal is just as good. You should say I'm better than Alex.
Oh, no. See, I'm a realistic person. I'm just as good as Alex.
If he sticks at just as good, that means he knows he's not as good. But I appreciate the confidence nonetheless. Good to see you, Kyle. We are 2 minutes into the show. You've both deflected responsibility on creating a new open and then tried to take a shot at me
within
the first 120 seconds.
It had been discussed with executive producer Ashton Rotman in the past that I am not responsible for updating the show.
That's interesting, because for Kyle Bruston Norman, I am responsible.
Oh, well, it's interesting. That's interesting. I have a lot of other roles than what you have.
I actually don't think any of this is interesting. 800-990-3776 again,
800-990-ESPN.
What's interesting to me is the hope that sprung up mid-college basketball season for two teams that were consistently in the top 20 of the country between Marquette and Wisconsin has resulted in neither of them making it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, and the madness in March has dissipated as the Badgers fell to BYU last night, 91-89, and what was a... interesting game. It really was an interesting game, to use that word once again. It was high scoring, obviously, when you're talking about a game that produced 180 points as the total. BYU seemingly couldn't miss, led, controlled the entire game. Wisconsin with a late run that resulted in them having the final possession with 12 seconds left, down by two with a chance to tie or win the game, and yet they fell short. 91-89. They lose to BYU, that coming a day later than Marquette, only putting up 66 points, losing to New Mexico, the 10 seed, 75-66 on Friday. And here we are as Wisconsin sports fans with nobody to root for on the Sunday, 3 days in to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's ideal. We were talking before the show, Greg, and I said to you, last night's game just epitomized what being a Wisconsin sports fan is. You enter with hope, you lose hope, they find a way to bring back hope, then you lose hope again, and then all of a sudden they have the ball with a chance to win the game with the shot clock off. One last shot, and ultimately John Tonje can't connect. I am frustrated, A, obviously, with the loss for the Badgers and for Marquette, but I am specifically frustrated with the way the Badgers went down. And it's not because of all the excuses I've been reading online the last 12 hours, which I need to delete Twitter after what's occurred the last 12 hours. All the excuses of, oh, it was a home game for BYU. No, it wasn't. It was a 7.5-hour car ride from BYU's campus to Denver, Colorado. Get that out of here. Oh, it was badly officiated. It was officiated poorly, sure, but it was officiated poorly on both sides. The matter of the fact reason is this. The Badgers weren't good enough last night. They were the better seeded team. They were the better basketball team. They lost the game. They missed layups in the first half. They missed free throws, which was uncharacteristic. There was a technical foul on the Wisconsin bench. There were tons and tons and tons and tons of opportunities to take the lead and win this game, and the Badgers just didn't execute. I don't think that falls on Greg Gard. I don't think that falls on John Tanjay. I think there were plenty of opportunities to win that game last night, and that's the frustrating part to me. But for all the people that now are taking victory laps because they say Greg Gard isn't good enough, that's frustrating because the fact is he is good enough. He's a really good basketball coach. This is a team that was picked 12th in the Big Ten before the season. They were one of the best teams in the Big Ten all year long. You had one of the greatest transfers in college athletics history. I will go that far with John Tanjay. He was the Russell Wilson of Wisconsin basketball this year. That's how good he was, and he was that good last night scoring the most points a Badger ever has in a tournament game. 37 points last night for John Tanjay. Wish it would have been 39 or 40, but that's beside the point. All in all, this was a successful season for the Badgers, given what it was. Disappointing, yes, but also successful.
I agree with most of what you say. I'm not going to take debate on the Russell Wilson comp because that's one step too far for me.
If he got to the Sweet 16, was it fair? If they made it to the second weekend.
If they made it to, like, the Final Four, it would be fair.
Okay, Russell Wilson's pretty good.
Russell Wilson was transcendent. He was the greatest quarterback season in the history of the University of Wisconsin. John Tanjay was very good, but it wasn't Russell Wilson.
It's more of the one-year transfer thing.
I tend to agree with the majority of what you're saying. I think that a lot of times when you get into the NCAA tournament, when you get into March Madness, the idea of losing to a lower-seeded team feels so significantly worse. The Badgers were a point and a half favorite. They were probably, the 11th or 12th ranked team in the tournament. BYU was probably the 20th or 21st ranked team, 21st or 22nd ranked team in the tournament. There's not that big of a gulf between them. BYU was extremely athletic. They pushed pace. That's a very good team. What I will agree with you on is BYU shot the lights out. I mean, they shot 46% from three. They dominated the paint. And they had guys step up who you wouldn't have expected to step up. You had a guy who was shooting 20% from three the entire season, hit a massive deep three with 2 minutes left. And sometimes college basketball in general, is a make or miss game. And the Badgers missed, and BYU made it. But ultimately, it came down to a final possession with a chance to tie or win the game. You put it in the hands of your best player, which is exactly what you want to do. And he didn't get the call, which is kind of what he was looking for. He got stuck. He didn't make the shot. And the Badgers ended up falling short. I don't think that is a damning game for Greg Gard. I think that Greg Gard is the reason why Badgers fans should feel confident about this program moving forward. Because even when the cupboard gets emptied, he still has the ability to give his team a chance to win. And what I don't think has gone recognized is how much Greg Gard has evolved, how he has built this program to the point where the Badgers scored 89 points in the NCAA tournament. They gave up 91. I get that. But they scored 89 points. The defense was not good enough last night, but I do think that a lot of that was a result of them missing shots, of them turning the ball over, and ultimately of them giving BYU opportunities to get down court with a head of steam. And look, certain guys didn't step up, right? Mm-hmm. Crowell was the only one really in that first half that stepped up. Klesmet was inconsistent. He hit some big threes, but at the same time, there was points where it didn't look great. The bench was horrible. They were one of nine from the field. And it didn't look like some of those bench guys you needed to stepped up in a way that BYU, which is, I think they have the fourth oldest team in all of college basketball, like, they were prepared. Even their bench guys were prepared. But it was a coin flip game when it came down to it at the end. It didn't feel like it, and the Badgers ended up losing. 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. Are you concerned at all about the future of Wisconsin basketball? How do you view this season? Do you view it as a success? Because ultimately, yeah, I view it as a very successful season for the Badgers with a disappointing tournament loss. And I know that oftentimes you say that too many times about this Badgers team, but like, that's the reality of college basketball unless you're one of five programs.
Correct. And I understand it's contradictory to say it was successful but also disappointing. But that's just what this season was. I don't think any of us went into the season for the Wisconsin Badgers going, They're going to be a three seed. They're going to be really good this year. They're going to be competing for a Big Ten championship again. Like, that wasn't the expectation at all. You lose a majority of your roster, including A.J. Storr, who we thought was this awesome player out of the transfer portal last year for them. You got to replace him. You lose your three-year starting point guard in Chucky Hepburn. And this team finds a way. You used the word, Greg, evolve, right? The way Greg Gard has evolved over the course of the last couple of years. He's a guy, and I've said this a million times on this show when we talk Badgers hoops, but he's a guy before this season that I think would have been, he could have sat back and said, I lost everybody. This new era of college basketball sucks. He could have taken the Tony Bennett route, right? That Tony Bennett took at Virginia, just said, I can't do this anymore. But he said, nope, we're going to evolve. We're going to change our style of play offensively, bringing in Kirk Penny as one of the assistant coaches. We are going to hit the portal, and we are going to find diamond in the roughs that evolve into our identity, right?
John Tonje. We found what we could afford.
Yeah, and John Tonje was one of the best players in the country, Kyle. He's an All-American.
I mean, diamond in the rough, I mean, you find what you could afford. That's what it is. I'm sure John Tonje wasn't their first choice, was he?
I mean, I think their first choice would have been to keep Storr, to keep Chucky Hepburn, but Tonje was better than both of them
significantly better than both of them. Significantly.
So it doesn't matter. If you can figure out a way to plug guys into your system to make them work, that's what Wisconsin's going to have to do. Now, the question is, to your point, Kyle, are the Badgers going to be able to keep John Blackwell?
Yeah, it's a fair question.
No, they have to keep John Blackwell.
Have to find a way.
In order for this team to have a chance, because John is, he's ready. Like, he's ready to step up. And the great thing about it is he got to be around a guy like Tonje that can teach him about how to be a veteran, right, as he's evolving. And he had his role in this team this past season. You got to keep John Blackwell. You got to find a way to keep Nolan Winter as well and add some pieces, because you do have some young guys on this team that are going to emerge next year as well for the Green Bay Packers, for the Wisconsin Badgers as well. So, for me, I'm not actually mad about this. This is what happens, right? And March comes around, the Wisconsin Badgers give me heartbreak. See, last year what was so disappointing is they got put out in the first round, but they didn't perform very well, right? You lost to a 12 seed. This is on par, right? You go back to when they were in the Sweet 16, it was still heartbreak. Like, it was heartbreak 2 years in a row for the Wisconsin Badgers. This is Wisconsin Badger basketball I'm used to. Now, I want us to make a Sweet 16 run, but I'm appreciative that this team is actually going in the right direction, whereas when I look at a Wisconsin Badger football program, I can't say they're going in the right direction. A year ago at this time, I was saying fire Greg Gard. But now I'm like, okay, I'm optimistic for what the future holds with Greg Gard. Based off what you said, Strofe, he was able to reinvent himself. He didn't become stagnant and said, well, we got to find guys that fit this swing offense and, you know, moving slow. No, he said, you know what? Right. We're going to turn the pace up. We're going to score more points, and look how they evolved. And if anybody is watching Wisconsin college basketball right now, people who watched that game yesterday, kids are like, oh man, they got up and down. That was fun. That was a really good game. Like, and that's what you want. You want to be able to attract kids. And I feel like at this point now, Wisconsin has an opportunity to attract more talent around the nation. But more importantly, I'm going to tell y'all this. Wisconsin high school basketball is a hotbed. Because if you put, I can't say his last name, but you put the kid Milan from Iowa State that's going to be playing here today.
Chilovich.
If you put him on a Wisconsin Badger basketball team, which I have no idea why they didn't recruit him, you're talking about a team for sure going to the Sweet 16, right? So now Wisconsin is going to put themselves in a position where kids who say, well, I don't want to play in that slow offense, it's not going to get me ready for the NBA. You're going to have some local kids who are going to say, maybe I do want to stay here and play at home. So I'm excited for the future for Wisconsin Badger basketball, because I think Greg Gard did exactly what he needed to do to evolve and get better and be more attractive.
It's really well said. It becomes an attractive place to play. Now, ultimately, your earlier point, Kyle, on the moolah is going to matter a little bit too, right? Especially when it comes to recruiting in the portal.
Open pockets. Points are sexy. People are now going – the football team right now is in a bad spot. If they are bad again this year and they end up keeping their head coach, guess where some of that money going to go to?
Basketball.
Greg Gard. Yeah. I know I would. I want to win a basketball game.
Slow down. There's only one Wisconsin alumni on the panel today. That's Greg Scalzo.
Yeah, where are you putting your money at, Greg?
I think the money's going to keep flowing to football. It just is. That's where the majority of the fandom is.
You're not going to make a donation to your buddy Greg Gard?
Sure, yeah. I mean, normally I push it towards guarding against cancer, his nonprofit.
Yeah. Do both.
We'll work on what that looks like.
Forget the college fund for the children. We're trying to win games now.
All right. Yeah, don't put in your 529. We need the Badgers to end up winning some basketball games today.
You know what makes your kids happy? Watching them grow up watching the Badgers be good.
My kids will be happy if I'm happy, and I'm happy if the Badgers win some basketball games.
You can get a college degree from anywhere. Don't worry about that. Tell them they're going to the cheapest school in Wisconsin.
Send them to Stevens Point. I turned out fine.
Yeah, sure. Yep, okay, something thanks. Like that.
Yep, thanks.
The jerseys, too, I think have taken a step up. The jerseys look good.
Yeah,
you know, like
agreed.
That. That's going to attract
point.
Some talent.
Great point.
800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Call us, text us. How do you feel after a disappointing loss last night? I still feel good about this team. I do think that this model that they're going to continue to perpetuate at Wisconsin is going to be to find older guys who can play in these mid-major programs and elevate them with the Badgers. And I think that they are going to have to stick with what they afford while still trying to develop those players that they have. And that can be a recipe for them to continue to duplicate. But it does create some really boring NCAA tournament basketball, because all of these mid-majors that used to be good, that used to be like, oh, you built something at Loyola Chicago, right? Because you've got these guys that were in your program for 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. 5 years. Now none of them are staying because they're going to go and take whatever money they can get at the major programs. And now you get very little upsets. You get a lot of chalk. You don't get a lot of exciting tournament basketball. And that's what we have been dealing with here. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk Badger basketball. We'll take a look at Shaka Smart's disappointing run in the NCAA tournament, because I think it was unfathomable a year ago right now that Badger fans were more excited about the future of their team with their coach than Marquette fans with the future of their team with their coach. I think that Marquette fans might be taking it a step too far. I'll tell you why next. It is Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
3 days in to the NCAA tournament, Badgers out, Marquette out, Badgers lose in a heartbreaker last night, 91-89. Grind it all the way down to getting the ball in the last possession. Chance to tie it, chance to win it, give it to their senior. One of the great transfers in University of Wisconsin history.
Right up there with Russell Wilson.
And Tanjay could not get it done. Badgers fall. And here we are with nothing to root for but our broken brackets.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It seems to me that we say the same thing every year for all our sports teams. The Badgers fall, the Packers fall, the Brewers fall, and Badger basketball, Badger football. As you were talking about Russell Wilson, in that game, we talk about how that ended. It didn't end with victory, right? Uh-huh. We weren't going to win a national championship, but we had a chance to win a Rose Bowl, and we didn't. I don't know. This is just this is exhausting. It really is. I know this was only to go to the Sweet 16, but, man, it heartbreak just follows Wisconsin sports fans everywhere. Greg, as somebody's from Boston, I mean, like,
ask this question in an accent, please.
Greg, when you guys are in Boston, so as a Boston guy, do you guys look at your Boston teams like, oh my gosh, heartbreak year after year after year after year?
Look, winning a championship is hard. And when you're a good team, right, you have to be good in order to create heartbreak. You have to earn heartbreak. Like, if you stink all the time, if you're the Cleveland Browns, if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, there isn't heartbreak because you never even give yourself a chance to believe. So, like, I don't think heartbreak is as negative as we think it is, right? It's better to be in a relationship and get your heart broken than to just be lonely your entire life.
Oh, wow.
Are you sure
thought about that.
1,000%, right? Like, would you rather go through your sports fandom having any hope? Would you rather be a UW Green Bay fan, right? Like, looking down the barrel?
Tough loss for the women last night, by the way. First round. Outed by Alabama.
Very tough. I get the point that you're making, but it's also very difficult to win a championship. I think that your issues could probably be far greater with a team like the Green Bay Packers than they can even like a team like the Badgers or Marquette, right? It's even harder in college basketball, in college football, especially in the way that today's economics is for the Milwaukee Brewers, right? Like, the deck tends to be stacked against some of these teams in a way that it's not for the Bucks or for the Packers. Now, The Bucks won a championship in 2021. Mm-hmm. It's why it was so exciting, because Wisconsin got a true championship. The Packers were going on 15 years now without even getting back to the Super Bowl, despite being the self-proclaimed title town. So I think
that's a shot. Unnecessary. We're down right now. Why kick us when we're down?
I don't think that's a shot.
You didn't need to say the self-proclaimed title town. You need to say that.
But Kyle, he's right.
Today's not today.
But your championship expectations are higher for a team like the Packers even than a team like the Bucks because of what they are as a franchise, right?
And
that's true.
You know, I had an argument last night because my friends are trolls. I have a buddy who's a Minnesota guy, and he's like, well, you just don't understand what it's like to be a Minnesota sports fan. So, yeah, you're right. I'm way better than you in everything, right? So to Greg's point, it's better to have loved and lost than to not have loved at all. Is
that
the phrase?
Never have loved at all, yes.
Okay, gotcha. I'm a very poetic guy. I don't know if you knew that about me.
Big time.
Yeah, big poetry guy. So, the long and short of it is this stinks. However, it was a really fun, unexpected ride from the Badgers team. Now, when you look at the Marquette side of things, I think this year is a disappointment. Right? And I know we'll get into this a little bit more later because we got Jason Wilde coming up in a minute. But Marquette's expectations were much higher than the Badgers were, and they lost in the first round. At least the Badgers won in the first round and were in a game that they probably should have won but lost. And the monkey now is still not off the back for Wisconsin. The monkey for Greg Gard on his back is getting to the second weekend. He hasn't done it since 2017. And
with Bo's guys.
I hate that argument. Don't even do that. Let's shut that argument down right now.
I mean, who recruited those guys?
Greg, who is the associate head coach under Bo Ryan?
Greg Gard. Yeah. I mean, he did a lot of that.
Yes
work.
Or yes.
It's a bad excuse. It's a bad excuse.
Yes,
right
yes
there.
Or no.
From what I was told from a player that played on the Wisconsin Badgers, I won't divulge who that is.
Does his name rhyme with Len Crust?
He said Bo Ryan did all the coaching for those teams. He did all the coaching for those teams.
Yeah, but not all the recruiting.
He helped recruit them. But again, those are Bo's guys. They came in. They played under Bo a little bit. They got that Bo mentality. That's why they made it to the Sweet 16. Those teams, talk about overachieving teams. Those teams were overachieving teams. Those teams lost at the buzzer. They put themselves in a position to win and literally lost. Notre Dame basically at the buzzer, almost at the buzzer. Florida, still at the buzzer. That's why I still have the rotation when the Badgers lose. I just turned the TV off. Last night, what I do, I just changed the channel. Didn't go on social media. I've been doing that since 2017.
Well, I hate that argument because the associate head coach helps recruit. So let's not call them Bo's guys strictly.
I mean, look, you could take a five-year span when Bo was doing what Bo did, getting the team, his Badgers team, into a top four in the Big Ten, making runs in the Big Ten tournament, and he would go through five-year stretches where he'd only get to the second weekend one time until he broke through, ultimately kind of late in that 2010 all the way through the final four runs with the 14 and 15 teams. Look, I think that basketball fans in Wisconsin, whether you're a Marquette fan or a Wisconsin fan, should feel pretty good about the two coaches that you have.
Definitely.
Again, it is a
two coaches for what? Marquette. Okay, Marquette.
Marquette. Got it. I mean, the tournament the tournament resume for Shaka might be more disappointing, right?
It is.
Since 2016, right? He lost in the first round to an 11 seed.
Come on, Texas?
18, yep, at Texas, lost to a 7 seed in the first round. Then in 21, lost to a 14 seed in the first round. Then in 22, lost to an 8 seed in the first round. Then in 23, lost to a 7 seed in the second round. He did make it to the second weekend last year in that Tyler Kolek run. And then lost to a 10 seed last year in the first round.
Yeah, he wanted to run him out of Texas. He left before he got fired.
Yeah, but it was ultimately because of the performance in the tournament. And so I think when all is said and done, you have two coaches that know how to run a program that are going to give you hope once you get to that place. And the idea of giving yourself hope and getting knocked out in a single elimination tournament, I mean, for the Badgers, right? You're talking about a team that was fourth in the Big Ten, that got to the Big Ten championship game, and then ultimately lost in a one-possession game to a team that is pretty much their equal to get to that second round. It's not like they were outclassed at any point where you're saying, well, you know, that's not a team that can get to the second weekend of the tournament. They just did it. And ultimately, right, these coaches are reliant on the players making shots and the players doing the right things. Their job is to put these players in the right position. You want to talk about poetry? You know, the great Robert Hunter once wrote,
oh, here we go.
You know, that you who choose to lead must follow, but if you fall, you fall alone, right? So, like, these coaches ultimately are reliant on the players, but when they fall short, who gets blamed? Not the players, it is the coaches. And that is the responsibility in which they bear, but you have to take it with some degree of context in the sense that, like, you know, they're still good coaches. Would you want to trade Shaka Smart or Greg Gard for anybody else in this in today's day and age?
Wait a minute. Yes, I would trade them for some people.
Outside of your top five college coaches, okay, right? Guys that you know you can't get.
Outside the top five coaches.
Right? You're not getting Patino.
You're not getting Calipari.
Yeah, I was going to say Coach Cal is pretty impressive.
You're not getting Self, right? Like, you're not getting those guys. You're not getting John Shire. No, I mean, especially Greg Gard.
But I mean, BYU has a first-year head. Granted, I'm good with Greg Gard. BYU has a first-year head coach who I believe came from the NBA.
But Greg Gard has proven so much in the last couple of years. The thing with Shaka and the reasonable knock at this point on Shaka is he hasn't been able to do it through the portal. He got Tyler Kolek early through the portal, but that was still a guy
he was able to develop. He was able to keep most of his guys.
Yes.
He kept all of them.
Yeah,
he kept everybody from last year.
So, I mean, that's impressive.
But clearly it wasn't good enough. It was good enough for a 7 seed and kind of a disappointing Big East season.
I think there should be no argument about Shaka. I was at Marquette working there during the time of the previous coaching staff,
and
let me tell you, that was dramatic. That was terrible.
It was
bad for business. Shaka is good for business. I'm gonna tell you this. This is inside information. Marquette University is had the most applications they had in a couple years. You want to know why? It's because basketball is booming. Their name is booming, and that is good for business at Marquette. The more students you have, the more money you have, and then the more donations you may get, and the more money you can pay these players. So business is booming under Shaka. They're not concerned about that.
We'll get back to college basketball. But coming up next, Jason Wilde joins us right here. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Alex Strope giving grief to Kyle Wallace about the music
today.
What's going on with this? This is
not grief.
Say it ain't so. The Badgers are done.
Marquette is done.
Back when Weezer was still good.
We'll hit college basketball, but first we've got Jason Wilde joining us now here on Sunday Karma. Greg Scalzo, Alex Strope, Kyle Wallace. Jason Wilde, welcome to the program.
I'm sorry. I don't know what show am I on? Craig's not here. I know you guys are like a triumvirate now, but if we're playing Weezer instead of the usual return music that Kyle cues up that more often than not I'm not familiar with, I'm very confused at the moment.
It's a Weezer day instead of a Wheezy day, as in Lil Wheezy.
There you go.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Well done.
That was well done. That was very well executed.
Thank you, Jason.
Jason, I want to start not with the Packers, but with former Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Of course you do.
He does a long, ooh, what was it, 6-8 hour visit with the Pittsburgh Steelers this past week, and I don't want to prognosticate whether he's going to go there, whether he's not. I want to imagine that he is a Pittsburgh Steeler. How do you think him and Mike Tomlin, who I know he has a ton of respect for, would ultimately do in a working relationship with one another?
A great question, and I'm also super curious if this happens because, as our own Ben Brust has reported, the Packers are going to be going to Dublin to play the Steelers September 28th, I believe, according to Ben's reporting. So this is the second best option after him going to the Vikings, for those of us that are here for the story. Look, if Aaron called me today, which I don't anticipate him doing, and I haven't reached out to him during this process just because I know he's got a lot to decide. But if he did say, hey, you've always given me pretty good advice. What do you think I should do? The first thing I would say is, dude, whatever your new head coach wants you to do. Like, I think we've reached the point where, you know, you tried it your way in New York. That was supposed to be your Tom Brady scenario where, you know, they kissed your feet and did everything you wanted. And it's not your fault it went as poorly as it did. I really don't believe that it is. I think that Achilles blew everything up. And I think if you go back on NFL Plus and you watch him play this past season, not as terrible as that QBR rating that that Craig loves so much from ESPN would indicate. Now, that said, I just think that it's time for him to take a different approach. And I think that Mike Tomlin, to answer your question, is someone that has the gravitas that he would say, you know what, I that's good advice, Jason. Jay, I guess he would call me. I'm going to do that because I think he has more really good football left in him. I think we underestimated just how debilitating at age 40 a ruptured Achilles is, and that it's going to – he needs another – I think he'll be better this season, even though Father Time will have taken another year from him. And I really want to see him play. And I wanted it to be with the Vikings. I still don't believe that door is closed. And I'm very curious to see if he's willing to wait that out. If you look at what the – Kyle, was that you that said, hmm?
Yeah, it sure was.
If you look at the way the Vikings said that, it was more of a and again, it's been a while since I've been in the dating game, a very long time. But it was more of a, yeah, not right now, but let me see how this relationship works out first kind of a thing, right? Like, I saw Diana Rossini mention this as well. Like, I just get the sneaking suspicion that he is thinking, all right, they're going to take a look at their young guy, and if he doesn't look good or he has a setback with that knee, they're going to call me again. That's just the vibe I get. I think Diana kind of said the same thing. So the question then becomes, is he, after his visit to Pittsburgh, willing to commit to that place, or is he going to hold out to see if other options come along? Because we know this. If Joe Flacco can be in demand after he's been sitting on his couch for a while, and there were always debates about whether he was elite or not, then Aaron Rodgers to a team that has a playoff caliber roster but loses its quarterback will certainly have some appeal as well. But the bottom line is, to answer your original question, I would hope that if he goes to Pittsburgh, he would say, all right, I've tried it my way. Let's try it Mike Tomlin's way, and see if that rehabilitates my image in some people's eyes and leads to more success.
So what you're telling me is Aaron Rodgers is still going to do it his way and drag this out as long as humanly possible until we hit the 11th hour like he does every single offseason.
Well, look, we know he doesn't love the offseason programs, right? I mean, even when he's not disgruntled.
Yeah, we do know that, yeah.
And even when things are going well, and his team is, you know, doing what he wants, he still goes to Egypt, right?
Yep.
And so I guess my view of it is that he wants to hold out to do what's best for him. And I think if you look at where the Vikings are, I think he probably thinks, where's the place where I can most likely succeed? And he thinks it's the Vikings. And so if you were him, you know, look, let's put the shoe on the other foot here. You're a talented guy. We are lucky to have you on our team. But if for some reason you became a free agent, I would argue that staying with us and doing weekly Wildy, or when are we going to, we're due for one of those monthly Wildy.
We'll do one this week.
But I would argue that this is a good fit for you. But let's say we got another young up-and-comer. We got Corey Sparks or Wally Lukaczynski that we really like, and we want to give them a big opportunity with ESPN Milwaukee, but we want to see if they can do it.
You see his face right now, Jason. He's just red. He's nervous.
Right, but what I'm saying is that if you know that this is the place that you can best succeed, and then some other radio station comes along in the interim and plays the role of Pittsburgh with you, are you going to kind of, you know, lead them along a little bit because you know it's not quite as good of a fit? Like, that's my question. Like, I don't think we should fault him for wanting his own best scenario.
Sure.
And I think that's how he views the Vikings.
I guess.
Do you agree?
Well, yes, I do. But the way you're explaining it is not the way I guess I viewed it, because they seemed incredibly noncommittal to the idea of Aaron Rodgers earlier in the week. Let's keep in mind, for those that don't remember last year, Jason, for the Vikings, their plan was not to start Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was not their guy last year. It was going to be J.J. McCarthy's team right out of the gates, and then what was it, an ACL or an Achilles that he suffered in preseason?
No, I actually know all about this because Maddie tore her meniscus. And Doc McKenzie wanted to trim it, and we got a second opinion, and the guy up here who was trained by the Vikings doctors wanted to repair it.
Okay.
Which ultimately, after Doc McKenzie did the surgery, it would not have been repairable. So it would have been a mistake to do that. But the Vikings doctor, from what I understand, believes in repairing meniscuses. And then he had some setbacks with it. And by having it repaired, it shut him down for the whole season. Whereas had he had it trimmed, he would have still played last season. So they made that choice. He takes basically a medical redshirt for his first NFL season. And now, and this is my point, is that, look, maybe Kevin O'Connell sees everything he needs to from a health perspective and from a skill perspective in that offense. And Aaron Rodgers ends up out in the cold because they're like, yeah, we like the kid. We're going with him. We don't want Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, go on a sabbatical or go on an ayahuasca retreat or whatever you want, because we're going with our guy and we're going to sign Ryan Tannehill to be his backup. Then where does that leave Rodgers?
That's my point, right? Like, that's why I think waiting is bad.
Right. Well, but
he's going to end up a Tennessee Titan.
Right, or somebody else's quarterback gets hurt, and he ends up with an opportunity somewhere else, right? Like, I don't know what the future holds, but my gut tells me that he does not see the Steelers. He sees the Steelers as, like, somebody that he would work for if he really needs the job, but he doesn't
playoff
really
team.
Need a job.
It's not like he's walking into to Las Vegas with the Raiders or New Orleans with the Saints, teams that can't get it right over and over and over again. He's going to maybe the most stable head coach and one of the most stable franchises in the entirety of the NFL. That seems like a pretty damn good opportunity and a no-brainer to me. But it seems to me like he wants to do it his way again. And to your point at the beginning, if he was to call you for advice, his way didn't work. It seems like a no-brainer to me. But maybe I'm simplifying it too much.
Well, so you follow the Packers very closely.
I do.
Who's had a better success rate since Super Bowl 45, the Packers or the Steelers?
It's Packers, but I don't think it's as wide of a margin as you think it is.
Well, my point is that, yes, the Steelers seem to always be in the conversation of, hey, they had a good season. They were above 500. They made the playoffs. But what of significance have they done since then? Like, they're kind of that team that, yeah, well, they're not bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're not mediocre, but they're not great. They're just
okay, but
good.
You take a guy like Aaron Rodgers who views himself as the second coming of God, and he's going to elevate that team. That's a little unfair. That's a little unfair. Yeah,
unfair? I think you can make the argument that what the Steelers seem to have been missing since Ben Roethlisberger is competent to above average quarterback play. So I get that argument, but I also see what Jason's saying as we're talking with Jason Wilde here on Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin, in case you're wondering, like Jason was, exactly what show this is right now. I also do think that the opportunity to be in a Arthur Smith-led offense with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is a very defensive-oriented organization with a defensive-minded head coach, or to be with Kevin O'Connell and have an offense that just got Sam Darnold paid the way he got paid with the league's best wide receiver. If you were to give any quarterback those two options, sure, the Steelers feels comfortable and high floor, but the ceiling for Rodgers to have a bleep you season to everybody like you who doubt him is significantly higher with a team like the Vikings.
I don't doubt him.
I think he's well done.
I still think he's got tread left on the tires. But this is the same guy that also, and I mean, maybe we shouldn't view it the way of, oh, he's literally going in the same exact path as Brett Favre. He said he didn't want to be Brett Favre. This is the Brett Favre path. Now, I understand it's different. It is an appealing situation. It's an appealing offense. But it's also a team that wanted this J.J. McCarthy to be their quarterback a year ago. I don't think they're going to change their tune just because Aaron Rodgers at 41 years old is interested in the opening. I could be wrong on that. I think you go to Pittsburgh, you speak with Arthur Smith, you speak with Mike Tomlin, you realize the stability that's there and the opportunity that's there. They've made moves this offseason that say, hey, whichever quarterback comes in here is going to be a little bit more comfortable now. You have George Pickens and DK Metcalf, two guys that are great with 50-50 balls, two high-end wide receivers. I get that the 1-2 punch in Minnesota is debatably a little bit better.
Debatably?
A little bit?
What are you talking about?
Man, Jordan Addison's only 2 years in. I think you have more proven commodities with Pickens and Metcalf.
No.
Let me ask you this, Stroll.
Justin Jefferson is by far the best receiver in this conversation. I'm not disagreeing.
You think Pickens is better than Addison?
Go ahead, Jason.
I don't. Do you think that those guys, again, given their reputation, that maybe things can change, right? But you're right about 50-50 balls. You're absolutely right about that. Do those two strike you as the disciplined route runners that Aaron Rodgers will demand?
I think they will become that if Aaron Rodgers is in the building.
Why?
Because
why would you think that?
Because people change so much. Like,
I feel like we know what he demands. And obviously, if he's going to sign somewhere, which I think will still inevitably end up being Pittsburgh, he will demand that. He will demand routine. He will demand discipline. And that's what Aaron Rodgers expects. I think that's completely fair coming from a four-time MVP.
Well, and in fairness to you, I think you're probably right. If he wants to work, the Steelers make sense. But again, I'm not saying he's ending up in Minnesota. What I am saying is from the 30,000-foot view without having spoken to him or corresponded with him at all, I think there is part of him that wants to see if that Vikings opportunity comes. And if the Steelers are willing to wait for him, fine. And if they're not, okay. Well, something else will come up. That's the vibe I get, and maybe I'm wrong. We know he doesn't want to go to the Giants, right? Like, that would just be playing just to play. The Steelers are a better option than that, but this is the drawback with him, is that there aren't a whole lot of places that he can look to and say, this would be a really good fit, right? I think ultimately he went into New York thinking, this is perfect. They got a great defense. I really like Saleh. Turned out maybe he didn't. They've got weapons, young weapons. They're going to do what I want with the offensive coordinator and Cobb and Lazard. I think he thought, three plays into his first season there, this is going to work. And then he ruptured his Achilles and everything went to hell. And so I think he's probably looking at it as, I'm going to be selective. I don't need to play. I want to play, but I don't need to play. And I think that's going to be kind of his process. And we'll see if I'm right. And if he signs with Pittsburgh tomorrow, then you will have been right. And I will be very excited for that Ireland game.
Jason, we got to take a quick break. Will you be able to join us on the other side?
Yeah, I'm in my laundry room instead of being in a gymnasium for gymnastics or volleyball or basketball. I am unfettered today. I just have a to-do list. That's all I have. So, yes.
Perfect.
I'd love to stick around.
Because we know that Alex Stroff does not know how to evaluate wide receivers, and we want to ask you about Brian Gutekunst doing the same thing. So we'll do that next. Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Kyle, bringing different vibes this morning.
I like it.
Yeah?
I didn't know you had this in your bag.
Come on now. I went to Wifers Bay. Nah, I grew up in the city, but I'm a suburban educated child.
Kyle Wallace, Greg Scalzo, Alex Strofe with you. No Craig Karmazin today. It is Sunday Karma. We bring back Jason Wilde, who you listen to every day, 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. On Wilde and Tauschen, of course, when Strofe feels like it, the weekly Wilde program on our YouTube property.
Jason's a busy guy. I wanted to give him a little bit of a time to unplug following the NFL season. You don't think you're busy.
I am, but I'm not too busy for you. Hey, quick question before we move forward.
Yeah.
Do you dislike Aaron Rodgers at this point, Strofe?
I dislike him off the field. I still love him on the field.
That seems like a hair that you're splitting, because your tone when you talk about him feels very much like
I'm just sick of it. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of him being the centerpiece of everything that goes on in the National Football League when we are in a down period. Like, make a decision.
Okay. And you were too young in 05, 06, 07.
No, I remember Favre. I remember Favre.
He was too.
I know.
He was.
I totally agree. He was worse. But I'm just sick of it. Like, I this isn't my drama anymore, but it's still my drama, if that makes sense.
But, like, sick of what? Especially for what we do every day. Drama is key. Like, it's like being upset that the same soap opera star is creating drama, and you're why is this character continuing to create all this drama? Like, you just want nothing to be interesting in the offseason?
To use an analogy of my soap opera, WWE, Aaron Rodgers has become a heel, and it was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I
thanks for explaining that.
Well, for those like Jason that don't watch WWE, I figured that's necessary. I
like that word's only used in the WWE.
Greg, I'm sick of you.
It's like Ben Bruss 2.0, Jason.
He's my favorite player of all time, probably. And that's what makes me frustrated, is because he's so great, but I think he gets in his own way of people appreciating his greatness often because of antics like this. And maybe this is a strong example, but there's better examples that we don't need to hash through. I just want him to go somewhere stable and play well, because he's still capable of it. And I think we saw flashes of that last year in New York, where it was like, okay, he's still got his fastball. And dragging this out until June is just irritating to me. So that would be my tone. I apologize. I'm probably lashing out to Aaron a little bit.
You just want what's best for him. That's nice.
Yeah, I just want what's best. I just want him to be great, Jason. And I'm probably lashing out a little bit because I'm irritated about how the Badgers lost last night. So anyway, Greg, move on to what you'd like to move on to.
Well, I mean, I think the wide receiver position is an interesting one. And again, thank goodness that the Packers don't have Alex Strofe picking them, because he'd take DK Metcalf and George Pickens over Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
That is not what I said. I didn't say Justin Jefferson.
You said the two of you said they had better wide receivers. But I want to talk to Jason a little bit about where he thinks the Packers' strategy is around the wide receiver position. I think Packers fans expected them to try to do something this offseason to bring in somewhat of a number one wideout. Obviously, with the injury to Christian Watson, he's going to miss at least the first half of the season. And then it takes, to me, usually a full year for guys to come back from an ACL, even once they hit the field. They add Mecole Hardman, which feels just like a shot, maybe a special teams piece. Where do you think Goody is at as far as his strategy when it comes to the wide receiver position for the Packers, Jason?
Yeah, I think he believes that Jaden Reed and Dontavion Wicks are going to become good enough to be, you know, not like Justin Jefferson number ones, but like one-ish. I really do. I think he's convinced of that. And we had a good conversation during the week. I can't remember which show it was on, but about how, you know, Goody basically, when he talked about the urgency, you know, and I knew what he was doing because it was my question. You know, my argument, though, was that when you tell your players that they need to show better urgency, I think it's fair for those of us on the outside, and certainly the players, if they want to think this and not articulate it, to say, well, what about your urgency? I don't think that that's, you know, out of bounds. And, you know, signing a guard to that big of a contract, even though the structure would tell us that really more of a 2-year deal, and we'll see after that. and signing a former nickel guy and seeing if he can do more than that, like Keyshawn Nixon has with Nate Hobbs, that doesn't feel urgency, right? Urgency is acquiring Trey Hendrickson. Urgency is making the DK Metcalf trade. That doesn't mean they'd be the right moves, and maybe that's why we have to give him the benefit of the doubt here. But I understand fans' frustration with this. Look, the wide receiver position, while still important, I think they feel like, you know, if Dobbs, they think Dobbs's concussion issues are not a major concern. I think they feel like they'll get Christian Watson back at the back half of the season and maybe get him at a discounted rate for 2026 on like a one-year deal. And then get the best of him, and maybe then he becomes the player that they've thought he was capable of. And I think they feel like Wicks and Reed are way better than what they were last year, and they weren't god-awful terrible. They just dropped 19 combined passes. I also think that Matt LaFleur is looking at this offense and saying, I need to reimagine what we need to do with this offense. We need to figure out a way to be better on play action with a different run scheme for our stud running back. We need to make this offense revolve around him and around the tight end position because they think Tucker Kraft is George Kittle 2.0. And they still believe that with some good luck health-wise that Luke Musgrave, while maybe not a great blocker, can be that really athletic down the seam tight end who can outrun people and make big plays. And so I think they view the wide receiver position as important, but not make or break. And that with Jacobs and with their tight end group and the wide receivers playing more of a supporting role as opposed to a starting role, that their offense can be really good. Because let's not forget, for all the criticism, much of it deserved, that Love and this offense got, they still were, what, eighth in scoring and like seventh in yards or something like that? Like, it's not like they were god-awful. And they were one of the most explosive offenses in the league as well. So there's stuff to work with there. I just don't think Goody saw them as so far away at wide receiver that he had to do something that might have been viewed by some as panicky.
Huh. So this is the year that
better what was that right there?
Were you reading something else, and then he just stopped? Yeah, is that it? You weren't paying attention?
No, I was paying attention. I don't feel better or worse. I think. Is this
a rough segment for you?
Yeah, I'm just like I said,
Jason,
I was lashing out.
Jason, this is what it is. He's actually scared. That's what he's afraid to say.
He's
concerned if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Minnesota Vikings. He's going to relive his young childhood. I think he was a young teenager where Brett Favre went to the Vikings and it was really, really good. And he was able to beat the Green Bay Packers as well. So I think he's just very nervous and scared that he may have to relive something that happened during his childhood. But Strofe, it will be okay. Aaron Rodgers is old.
Yeah,
and
but he's still
injured.
Good.
Yeah, he's still good, but he's also injured. But also, I think that, and Jason, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that Brett Favre might be a better teammate to ingratiate himself with guys than what Aaron Rodgers would be. Because I feel like Aaron Rodgers is just still kind of like an old curmudgeon.
I don't know. Do you remember that Hard Knocks when he first went to the Jets?
Yeah.
They were salivating over him, but now that was a pretty puff piece. Yeah, they moved over him, and I think I don't know Aaron Rodgers what he did last summer. I just feel
did
like
you hear
Aaron's
what Kurt
gonna be
Benkert
himself.
Talked about Aaron Rodgers.
I did see that. I'm surprised you saw that.
No, I did not. I did not see.
He talked about how great Aaron Rodgers was as a teammate.
I'm just saying at this point I don't know if he's going to go in there. Maybe I'm wrong. I felt from my view when I was young, I thought Brett Favre did a great job of bringing that Brett Favre energy and love and passion for football that made everybody around him on that Minnesota Viking team that much more excited. Like, that was a good football team, but, I mean, this team's a lot better what Minnesota has now, especially offensive weapons, except for running back. But I just think that, you know, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is not going to wear out his welcome by the time they get to Week 15 and things aren't going the way they expected.
Yeah, I thought in 2023 when he went to the Jets, we all have this person in our lives that is not very good at apologies or admitting that they were wrong. And their behavior tends to be the way that they acknowledge it without having to say it. And I don't think that what you saw on Hard Knocks was phony or acting for the cameras. I think that was Aaron Rodgers realizing, man, I should not have been the way I was in 2022 with those young guys.
Okay.
Because my best wide receiver was Alan Lazard. And if I'd have been fun Uncle Aaron and embrace that instead of being a curmudgeon, to use your words. Maybe 2022 would have gone better. Now, again, he broke his thumb in London, which people always forget. But I think that was his way of saying it. He didn't come to the offseason program in 2022 after getting a $150 million contract. I just think that the way he behaved that first year with the Jets was basically his way of acknowledging, you know what, I really screwed up last year. And I'm not going to admit that, but I'm going to take that lesson and be better with this young team than I was with that young team. And I think if he goes into Minnesota, again, this comes down to, or Pittsburgh or whatever else, this comes down to, is he going to take a different tack in terms of, like, if he's smart, and everyone loves the content at ESPN, but if he's smart, he says, you know, the McAfee thing has run its course. I need to be more about football. I want to make this work. I'm not going to do that, right? That kind of stuff, I do think that would matter, and I think it would send a very clear message about how focused he is on finishing on a really high note. How did we end up back on him?
Because everything comes back to Aaron Rodgers, which is why it's great to still have him in the league. It's great to have him in the league. Jason, we got to hit our two-minute break here. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thanks, Jason.
More Aaron Rodgers next. Sunday Karma across the ESPN Wisconsin. Back in 2 minutes.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.